Our high school guidance counselor used to ask us what you would do if you had $1 million, didn't have to work. And then invariably, whatever you'd say, that was supposed to be your career. So if you wanted to fix old cars, then you're supposed to be an auto mechanic.
So what did you say?
I never had an answer. I guess that's why I'm working at Initech.
No, you're working at Initech because that question is bullshit to begin with. If everyone listened to her, there'd be no janitors because no one would clean up if they had $1 million.
If I had $1 million. If I had $1 million.
I'm talking about millions of dollars.
What would you do if you had $1 million?
I'll tell you what I'd do, man. Two chicks at the same time, man.
We're living in a material world and I am a material girl or boy.
Well, what about you now? What would you do?
Besides two chicks at the same time?
Oh, yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing, huh?
I would relax. I would sit on my ass all day. I would do nothing.
Well, you don't need $1 million to do nothing, man. Take a look at my cousin. He's broke, don't do
If I had $1 million, if I had $1 million, well, I'd buy you a house.
Hello and welcome back to Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tom Holly, he's Mr. Matt Weber. I was a little slow there, Matty, because I'm noticing something that we reported here a while back, and everyone has poo-pooed us, and it turns out we were right. S&P futures
up, that wouldn't be the first.
Up $1.50. NASDAQ futures up 55.75. Dow futures are down 49. Individual stocks in the Dow that are down. Can't see much. All I can see is Boeing down $1.28. It was up huge yesterday. Goldman Sachs down 55 cents. So nothing really. A lot of stocks aren't even open yet in the Dow. So we'll get those as the day wears on. The first day of a two-day Fed meeting. Do we have Brendan?
Yes, I'm here.
How are you,
are
bud?
Are you keeping us in suspense?
No.
Keeping us in suspense as to what the news is that you were reporting on that proved to be true?
I don't know if you were on that day, but I was, a couple of years ago, we had a listener email me, and then I talked to the gentleman. Well, he's now a client, actually. Was mentioning that when we started, Trump started fighting with, not just Trump, but this Huawei, and
yeah.
The dude was telling us that you better be careful how much you fight with them. They own, like, most of the 5G patents. And you know, mm-hmm. Remember we talked, I don't know if it was you or was it Lou that I said, what are we going to do, take all their patents away from them? Is that part of the game, to give them to somebody else here? Cause we seem to do stuff like that now, right? Now, it turns out, here's an article on CNBC by Arjun Karpal this morning talking, well, I'll give you a title, Huawei, is that how you pronounce it? To start charging royalties to smartphone makers using its patented 5G tech. They're going to charge a per-unit royalty cap at $250 for smartphones, cable connections to 5G and previous generations of mobile networks. Get this, Huawei has 3,007 5G patents, the highest out of any company in the world. How do you get 3,000 patents on one thing? You know, I don't know that much about the patent stuff, other than it's kind of a mess. But what do you make of that, Brendan?
Well, I think that they're, looking at the long game when they started filing all those patents for 5G stuff, and we fell behind a little bit on that.
Yeah, does every overseas people have every bit as much of a right to get a U.S. patent as a U.S. citizen? I suppose.
Anybody can file a patent. I'm not sure if there has to be a requirement of some kind of domesticity here to get a U.S. patent, but you know, a lot of these patents are also done in China. Then you got to go to the international courts to enforce them if there's a patent violation. But I think that there also is, or maybe, reciprocity among countries for their patents.
Where do you stand on the? I'm jaded on this one. I'm jaded on a lot of things, Brendan, as you well know. But a professor in Indiana at South Bend. Notre Dame, Father Flaherty? Flanagan? One of the two. It was an Irish F. And he was absolutely convinced that at the end of the day, the most useless law we've ever had was a patent. If so many have been stolen, it's so sloppy that we'd be better off without it. And I was doing some work with these people in Joliet, and they had a really neat testing machine for, I'm sure they still do, but they could never really get their act together enough to where somebody would want to put money in there because the family was fighting one of those deals. But so I'll leave what they did out. But they had a machine that was absolutely spectacular, and the thing was like 60 grand a pop, 80 grand a pop, and And every university had to have them, a few, and all those kinds of things, because they could test the oxygen levels, both in like seawater and steel. I mean, in anything. You know, it was a really neat looking computer with a test you know, vial you put in there and stuff. Anyway, but I said, you know, do you guys have any patents? And the lady goes, why would we want those? And I said, well, I mean, it's kind of what normal people would ask. And she says, the minute you put something at the patent office, all somebody does is look at it. They must hand it out to somebody else. They steal it. You have problems that you never had before. And, you know, I mean, I know it makes so much sense to say if you have something new, you can file it and nobody can steal it yet. Mm-hmm. Kodak stole Brown Camera, right? Does anybody really think that Alexander Graham Bell really invented the telephone? I mean, it's, you're right down the list, and it seems like they've all been stolen. And now there's people that just have zillions of patents of other people's. They've never done anything in their life. The minute somebody files one, they immediately file suit and say that we got something similar. I mean, isn't that a huge, well, you know that as an attorney, isn't that a huge branch of just pounding everybody else? I'll bet those people in Joliet, if they filed a patent, it'd be 15 people who would sue them immediately. I mean, is that?
Well, I think that, you know, the idea behind a patent law is a good one, that to protect your intellectual property. But, like many things, like copyright laws for written materials or trademark stuff, it's also very complicated. You know, who's the first one to get to the office? It's not really the one who invents something like the telephone or like the computer. I mean, just think about Al Gore inventing the Internet. I don't think he patented that to his detriment. But, you know, if you're the first guy to come up with an idea, you really would like to be protected. But it is very complicated and very messy. And, you know, oftentimes it involves money. I mean, I've trademarked a couple of things, and it's a long process just to get qualified. And then it's hard really to protect something later on. It costs a lot more money if somebody comes in for a trademark violation or a patent violation. So it has gotten convoluted in a way that has really bollocked up the whole patent system.
Well, but if you apply for one, and they give you one, if they're doing some sort of a search, somebody somewhere does a search.
Mm-hmm.
You and I mean, Amazon could come after us tomorrow and say we got something similar. And at the end of 3 years of litigation with your fellow attorney buddies charging me $800 an hour, if I'm not as big as Amazon, I just lose. That's no way.
That's right.
The whole purpose of this is
that's a big part of the problem with those who buy patents or patent rights and have deep pockets, like in Amazon or like in the old days, like in IBM or, you know, somebody who comes up with a computer like Microsoft or Apple right now. If you're trying to do battle with them, if for anybody else who's, you know, unless it's something like Apple versus Microsoft, anybody else is screwed going against either one of those because of the deep pockets that they've got. And unfortunately, as much as we want to be altruistic and think about the law being pure, it really often comes down to who's got the deeper pockets to be able to pay all the lawyers.
Well, what do they call the people that just buy other people's patents? You know, there's firms that have like 50,000 of them, right? And all they do is look around, and if somebody's even close, they just sue them, and most of the time the other guys will settle or whatever. Yet these guys, nothing's working. I mean, nothing's being used. They just, I mean, I can't imagine somebody coming up with anything that somebody doesn't have something close enough to sue you, in their mind.
Well, and then it does get into a long, drawn-out process. How similar are they? Did you really come up with it on your own? Is it really infringing something else? I mean, there are plenty of lawsuits going on right now with companies like Huawei and some of the American companies that are talking about 5G patents that are similar, and who was the first one to file, and how similar is it, and can it be used? The same thing is true in copyright. Well, I mean, I've been listening to a series that talks about comic books, of all things. And if you go back to things like the 40s and 50s, at the height of comic books, a lot of the comic book dynasty, like DC Comics, Marvel Comics, have thousands of ideas for superhero characters. And some of them are the most ridiculous ones you would ever hear of, both with their superpowers and their names, but they're unwilling to sell them or get rid of them because they might come up in a role and become famous sometime later on. And the same thing is true of the patents. You know, something that, that you came up with as an idea and were able to patent 30 years ago may have use now, even though it didn't have use then.
Well, how long do you keep the, you get to keep the thing if you don't use it?
Indefinitely, you can keep renewing it.
Really? Well, that's interesting.
Now, I think like in most copyright, there's a 50-year period or 60-year period, then it can be renewed once or twice. I'm not sure about that for patents, if there's a similar shelf life for patents.
Oh, well. Hey, changing topics a little bit, because you're my sounding board for when society meets economics meets the calculator. what do you make? I mean, we have the new administration here, and yesterday Joe was talking about he's going to raise taxes huge, but nobody over under 400 grand is going to pay anymore. Brennan, last year there were $3 trillion in the hole. How the hell are you going to charge anybody that kind of taxes when you limit it to that percentage of the population? Do you really think these guys come up with that kind of money? I mean, it's not like Maddie Weber and I were talking the way in. It's not like I don't want, you know, Jeff Bezos to finally pay his 35%. I mean, I do, but I still, the numbers don't add up. It's like Bernie putting a tax on stock transactions and wipe out all student debt. I mean, Jesus, really, Bernie? I mean, where's your calculator, you old fart? These numbers just don't. I don't think anybody in this country, including myself, has any conception of the hole the federal government's in. How could you?
It's a very big hole, and I don't think they're going to be able to tax their way out of it. There has to be some restructuring of what we're spending on, and a much higher generated economy, and hopefully this doesn't include inflation to start paying back some of the debt.
Well, I mean, when you say hopefully it won't, it's going to. I mean, there's no doubt to that. What do you make of, I heard about it after Monday last week, so I had a chance to talk to you about it. What do you think? Well, first of all, there's not going to be any money supply problems because we're not going to give everybody the weekly. Do you believe they stopped giving them weekly money supply numbers?
I'm sorry, say that again?
They stopped giving out the weekly money supply numbers.
Yeah, I don't understand why. You see things like that. Here's where I have to swing back into your column that, you know, that smacks of a lack of transparency and trying to hide the ball.
Well, not only that, if you go to the site, they scrubbed all the weekly numbers going back for the 2 years they usually have on there, 3 years, whatever it was. So if you want to know what the weekly number was like in December, you can't get it.
So that's troublesome. That's a really bad sign of both the realization that it may be there in the administration and the lack of transparency to allow anybody to raise the argument like you do.
Well, that's how I found out on the day before the election, whenever we talked about, gee, the Biden win, the market went way up. The Fed, according to their numbers, because the month ended on, well, one of the days the month ended, and the other day you had a number for both that Monday and the Friday before somehow, and they put $130 billion into the system on that Monday. And people wonder why the market was up on Tuesday? Duh. When I don't, I've heard stories of people getting so much money out of these plans, and other people are struggling to get any. I mean, the drumbeat now from a lot of the listeners is they must know people that are in the airline industries. So there's pilots that are getting two to 400,000 a year for the last year, and they haven't flown. And you know, executives at United Airlines and American are getting the same paycheck they did 2 years ago. I mean, how can that even be?
That's true. I mean, I haven't seen any cutbacks in the scale of those who have been kept on the payroll for the major airlines or their executives. I mean, they're having shakeouts for some in the C-suite who have left. You know, entities like Boeing have taken a hit because of their PR problems and their 737 problems. But I think that for those pilots who have not been laid off, many of them still are on the payroll, even though there's been a dearth of flights, in anticipation of travel coming back sometime in 2021.
Well, I mean, it's one thing to give schmoes like us who got laid off, you know, an extra $300 a week unemployment. It's quite another to give your firm that's on death's door enough money to keep paying you your old salary. I ran into a young lady who actually she was subbing for a waitress one night at one of the, my places that I go once in a while, and she's been stewardess showing my age, a flight attendant, and she's gotten paid. She hasn't been on a plane in a year, and she gets paid her whole salary. What is that all about? I mean, why aren't they on unemployment like everybody else?
Well, you know, there's a big discussion on that as to how long can companies continue to keep their payroll. And, I mean, the same thing is true with some restaurants. Some restaurants have tried to maintain their staff or a portion of their staff at full salary until they have to go to reduced salary. And, you know, if some businesses have a stockpile of money that they can do that, well and good, because then they don't have to ramp up again when the economy turns around. Like the airline industry, for example, looks like it's starting to turn around. It does get into a more complicated discussion, though, if those are the companies that are being given a lot of federal money as a bailout.
Well, but they all are. I mean, those are the ones that are paying. I guess, you know, I don't really... we had an interesting email yesterday from one of the listeners and was talking about, you know, the federal government's getting involved in everybody's business. And Ben Brennan, you can help me out here. I don't want the federal government in anybody's business. Yet when you take money from the federal government, when somebody gives you cash, he gets to suggest a few things to change because now his cash is in the game, right? I mean, if you don't want the mob in your business, don't borrow money from them, right? As simple as that.
That's right.
Somebody sent me a number. I don't know what it is. I mean, if he's correct or not, but in fact, I'm trying to dig it up here. About how much money they've given United Airlines, for instance. And, it's just dramatic. One of our listeners is all over this, and he sends me pretty good numbers, but I don't exactly know where they're coming from, so one of those kind of things. But
all the major airlines have gotten a huge amount of money from the federal government, and they're analogous to what happened back in 2008, 2009 with the too big to fail idea of some of the industries and the banks and the car manufacturers, but they're too big to fail, and if they fail, it's going to be much worse for the economy, so they are worth receiving federal largesse to bail them out for their mistakes over the last few years. It was compounded by the COVID downturn.
Well, I don't see how you walk into a board. I mean, if I'm going to give these guys, several billion dollars, and again, I want no part of their place, right? But if I'm giving them that kind of dough, somebody's got to walk in and say, Brendan, you've been the chairman of this company, and you other bleeps have been on this board for 12 years. You've had the best 12 years of your life in this country. At the end of the day, mm-hmm. You've got nothing to show for it except buying your own stock back and lining your own pockets. You haven't bought one friggin' plane. Everything is still leased. I mean, I'm going to give you some money, but all you guys are out of here. We're starting over.
I agree with you.
But I don't want government doing that. I mean, I absolutely don't. I mean, here's my... My listener who sends me stuff all the time, the American people, somehow or another, and I don't know what you can do about this. I mean, I don't want people grabbing guns and running down to the Senate or like or Congress like they did last time. But everybody is so happy to get their 1,400-hour check. It's the first time, I use this analogy because I don't like being the dog so much. It is exactly similar to having a big roast beef dinner and winging one of the prime rib bones of my dog Scruff. I mean, we're getting flipped a bone. And how many people know? I mean, Maddie does because he listens to me, unfortunately. You know what the number would be for every American? You would give a check that it's like $19,000 a person, this bill. And we're getting what, $1,400? $500 if you're a kid?
Yeah.
I mean, that's an incredible...
Well, here's something to think about. We've seen a lot of people who have the similar concept you do, and I agree that there's a lot of waste in this and that there are many things about this that are bad. But one way to reduce the amount of the bill is for all those who are complaining about it to reject the money. when you're talking about some of the governors in some of these states, when you're talking about all the senators who voted against it, all the House representatives who voted against it, have people in their districts and in their states saying, we're going to solve this problem by not taking the federal government's money. We're going to stay to our principles of saying no government in our affairs, no federal government in our affairs. And if you're going to give us money, then you're in our affairs, so we're not going to take the money and give it to somebody else. How do you think that would play?
Well, first of all, you hit right in my wheelhouse, because I was going to ask my counselor, Brandon, for a firm like PTI, we don't need the dough that's coming our way. It's not coming our way, but how am I going to say this succinctly? If you think what the government is doing is they're spreading money all over the damn place, and at the end of the day, the money's going to be worth a lot less.
Uh-huh.
And I think you've known me long enough to know I really don't want anything that doesn't belong to me. Right?
Yeah.
Yet, how can I do this properly? Or Maddie, kill me. But the way this is going about, if the federal government says, I'm going to double the amount of money, and just, if you got 50 bucks in your pocket, here's another 50. At the end of the day, the beer is going to cost 12 bucks instead of 6. I'm an absolute mm-hmm. moron for not getting my 50.
Yep.
Because we're not talking about regular world here. We're talking about something that's totally different.
Mm-hmm.
It's totally different. And, I mean, we're talking about degrading between the 25% money supply last year. We're going to get another 25% this year probably if they ever tell us about it. And so, I mean, every dollar you had is now worth, what, 50% less, right? Because if it's up 50%, well, it'll be worth a third less, okay? Right, if you do the math properly. So
mm-hmm.
you if they're handing that out, you can't not be in line, because you're going to be affected by the same inflation everybody else is. But here's, sometimes, this guy's so right-wing, he's crazy, but that part's all righty. But we're talking about an administration that's supposed to be liberal Democrats. That's why when everybody argues with me about this stuff, Brendan, I just say, when you're in the middle, like I am, it's lonely for one, but it's also very illuminating. The numbers, the money is the same either way. Republicans voted against uh-huh. us. They're not. It's not like they're not getting their piece of the pie. Here's like this guy's article. I'm going to read the whole thing, letter, but he said of course, he claims the Republicans, which I had to write him back and say, Republicans, it's not like they button their shirt to keep their hot heart from popping out of their chest. He claims because Republicans, don't support the bill because 90% is being stolen. But he's talking about if we really wanted to increase or decrease the inequality, you wouldn't pay the schmuck $1,400 and a pilot $425, because you're not mm-hmm. exactly decreasing the bad gap between rich and poor by doing that, are you?
Nope.
So I mean, so the pilots are going to receive, and this can't be every pilot, is going to receive 300 times more money than the poor guy. Now what are you doing? First of all, I cannot believe that every pilot's getting a check for $425, because I know a lot of the guys have been a 5-year guy from
They're not. No. And many pilots, especially the smaller airlines, are making considerably less than that. But the top pilots at American, United, Delta, Southwest, the big three, are at least getting a couple hundred thousand. I don't know if it's $400,000 a year.
Yeah, I'm going to say that's high.
Getting a couple hundred thousand a year.
But I mean, there's also the guys schlumping back and forth to Tulsa, to Midway, and Southwest. If they're making 100, I'm stunned.
Well, yeah, I agree. And same thing with JetBlue and
yeah.
some of the regional airlines, American Eagle, those kinds of planes are nowhere near that.
No. I'm going to say 100's a lot for them, I would think. But I don't know.
Yeah, most of them are making, until they crack in with the big airlines, they're making $30,000 to $50,000 a year at best.
Right. Yeah, I would agree with that. And they're right with the rest of us. I mean, I think they're right with everybody else. But the point is, the attitude is, this is helicopter money, so we really don't mm-hmm. care. And I don't. There's a theme in this. I want to, because you're more and more in tune with the local governments, because that's what you've done most of your life. How close, we've got a couple of minutes, again, if you listen to yesterday's show, what it appears to be doing is the federal government is taking on the entire mantra of all the debt. In other words, they don't want 15 states in receivership and 50 cities in bankruptcy. So they essentially are taking off they're covering San Francisco's debt. They're covering a lot of Illinois, a lot of Chicago debt. And I don't know if that's such a good idea or not, Brendan, but the fact that that comes without any caveats whatsoever to me is insane. But
I agree with you. I agree. It's a dangerous precedent, and it is insane. But before we go, can we talk about the NCAA?
Yeah.
Loyola and Illinois being in there, especially Loyola. I broke out my maroon and gold scarf again after I have it away for a couple of years now.
Why?
And the fact that they might play in the second round, which would be awesome.
I know.
Why would you not want an 11 seed more than an 8 or an 8 seed?
Because the 8 seed plays the number 1 seed in the second game.
That's what I'm saying. I'd much rather be an 11.
I'd rather be an 11 or even a 7, because 7 would delay going in against number 1.
I mean, I don't see Loyola have any chance of beating Illinois, but I think they could go a couple of rounds if they get out of the first weekend if they were
Loyola, according to the statisticians, I don't know if I said that word
statisticians.
Right. Statisticians. It's a little early for that word. But Loyola was the most misseeded team in the tournament. They by all advanced metrics, they are a top 10 team in the country based on their advanced stats. Offensive efficiency versus defensive efficiency, you know, margin of victory, things
which
like that.
Which would have given them a number 3 or 4 seed.
They statistically should have been seeded in the 3-4 range, but because they're mid-major and things like that, they're the best they could get was the 8-9 matchup. But they're favored versus Georgia Tech in the first round, which most people wouldn't believe. And then against Illinois will be favored, but that will not be a huge spread.
You don't think so? Really?
Loyola is really good. I don't think people realize how good they are. Now, I'm not saying they're going to beat...
They're the top defensive team in the country.
Yeah, I'm not saying they're going to beat Illinois, but if you think Illinois is going to beat them by 30, I think you have another thing
coming. No, but I'm saying that the difference in... it sounds awful, but if you're a racetrack guy, the difference in class between the two guys playing guard in Illinois and the two guys playing in Loyola are dramatic.
True, but you could argue that was the case 4 years ago when Loyola went to the Final Four. You know, just as a team, they just play really well together. They play great defense. They don't turn the ball over. They have a legit post presence. They're very well coached.
They feed well from the outside.
Right, and in a tournament scenario, when teams don't play a team quite like Loyola very often, they're very hard to scout, in a short time frame. So if they're able to get by Georgia Tech in the first round, and Illinois has one day to prep for them, it's going to be interesting. I'm not saying they're going to beat Illinois, but I think they're a tougher matchup than people realize.
I don't disagree. Last time they got there, weren't they, I use the term, cheating? Didn't some guy who originally went to a big program drop back there and then brought a couple of his buddies? They actually had.
Well, they got some transfers, but yeah, every school has that.
Illinois,
Michigan, all these teams have transfers.
No, what I'm talking about is, like Kevin explained it to us one day about a school like Northern Illinois. I said, Kevin, how do they have these 3 or 4 guys that are that good at Northern Illinois? I mean, football. And he goes, because they probably went to some other place, Georgia or somewhere, hated it, dropped back to Northern Illinois, and maybe a couple guys did it, and a few guys went there because those few guys were there, and all of a sudden you actually do have, you know, 7 or 8 people maybe at Northern Illinois could play, you know, for a Big Ten school.
I would not consider that cheating when you look at the way that the majors stack their teams with 1-and-done guys or 2 years-and-done guys and then go into the NBA. So I would not consider it cheating when you get some transfers going to a school like Loyola or any of the mid teams, and consider that cheating compared to what the big schools get.
I used a counselor. I used the word cheating because I couldn't think of something else. I didn't mean cheating. What I meant was you end up with a few players on a team like all that you would not expect to find there. Let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a fair statement?
You've also got to have a coach like a Porter Mosier who can. Get them to gel together as a team when they come in from disparate schools like that, and stick together and play well together, especially if they transfer from different systems and need to get used to each other.
What happens? We got a dash here, but how did Chet Walker ever end up at Bradley? I mean, Chet had to be a huge star coming out of high school somewhere.
Doug Collins at Illinois.
I don't know
State.
That he was.
Maybe he wasn't.
I don't know that he was. But you also have to go back to the fact that you know, he was in school, what was at the 60s and 70s when he was there?
Yeah, well,
racial equality wasn't the same thing. There were a lot of schools who wouldn't have too many black players team at that time. And so I think you look at a lot of people who you say, how did he go to that school?
Yeah.
Larry Bird at Indiana State after.
Well, was he that huge of a recruit out of high school?
Yeah, he was. He was. Like the number two recruit in the country behind Magic Johnson. He went to Indiana and then I don't remember the story exactly, but basically he was like, screw this, with Bobby Knight, and then transferred to Indiana State.
Couldn't stand Bobby Knight.
I used to play ball with some guys, these Lithuanian dudes. I guess I can say that in the air, but they love basketball. And one of the guys had gone to Indiana, and he quit his freshman year. He goes, if you're going to be an NBA player, but they had, you know, sprints where everybody had their own puke bucket, you know, that kind of, he goes, I don't need this. I just want to play basketball. This torture routine, it's not making me any better. And I bet, what's his name was the same, Larry Bird.
Yeah.
SP Futures up 3, Nancy Futures up 74. Brennan, thank you. Be right back, Mr. Joel and Ken. I bet we're going to talk a little about Michigan.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Allen. Just met Weber on the board with Mr. Joel and Ken in a second. SP Futures up 5. NASDAQ Futures up 74. Dow is down only 10. We have the two-day Fed meeting starting today. And people are a little nervous about this, even though we record highs every day, because it'll be interesting to see if anybody starts lobbing tough questions, is allowed to lob any tough questions at Mr. Powell. I bet they aren't, but I don't know. We see how he said, we went from, even one of the ladies on CNBC yesterday said, have you noticed we've gone from no inflation to temporary inflation in about the last month? Which is true. DAX up 112.8%, FTSE up 50.7%, CAC around up 17.3%, so bullish over in Europe. Nikkei up 154.5%, Shanghai up 26.8%, Hang Seng up 193.7%, so up in Asia, really across the board. We have not seen those guys in the same direction, all three, in kind of a while. Yesterday, Dow Jones up 174, 32,953, a new record. An all-time high, as Sheen Houston would say. Been a bond film. S&P up 25, that's 0.6%, 39.68, another all-time high. But I can't sing like she can. NASDAQ up 139, it's 1% to 13,459, that is not a high. Bonds. Today they're 1.6 unchanged, the Bund unchanged at minus 0.33, but it's still down some from a week ago when it was minus 0.28. Japan positive 0.11, and then it had gotten up to positive 0.14. So the bonds have stopped moving up here. Ours is still pretty much on the high, not the bonds, the rate. Oil down 96 cents, it's that's 1.5%. What else we got here? I'll find it. Brent down $1, $67.88. Natural gas up a penny, $2.50. A little colder yesterday, Matty. RBOB gas down 2 cents to $2.08. I guess that's good if you're filling your tank up. Gold up $3.80, $17.33. Silver down 9 cents. Silver was up a bunch yesterday, $26.19. Copper called down a penny. And we've got our crypto 55,315 after hitting 60,000. Was on Sunday, maybe? The thing trades all
I think weekend. They hit almost 61,000.
Really?
Yeah, and then dropped back big.
Yeah, so it dropped back pretty much. What do you got for us, Trevi Weather Sports?
And by the way, it's transitory inflation. Transitory.
Transitory.
That's the word they use now.
You're gonna define that for me after Joel.
Well, I'll define it. It's two words, not permanent.
Okay.
39 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. We have a couple of issues already report on the south side. The Bishop Ford I-94 on the outbound side at South Michigan Avenue. There's a crash that's been moved to the right shoulder. That's causing delays on the outbound Ford, so keep that in mind. No issues on the inbound side. Ryan looks okay. Same for I-57. Stevenson, some traffic starting to build already this morning, so keep that in mind if you're heading in on the Stevenson. That's our slowest moving expressway right now. No accident to report, but high traffic volumes. Eisenhower looking good. Edens and Kennedy are all quiet. Lakeshore Drive, we have a crash on the northbound side before Chicago Beach Drive. So that's stop and go traffic on the Lakeshore Drive northbound side. That's on the south side, just before Chicago Beach Drive. And then there's an issue on the north side, Boys Town, Broadway between Hawthorne Place and Addison is closed due to police activity. The CTA is rerouting the number 36 buses as well. Off the expressways in the northern suburbs, there's a crash, or actually a closure due to railroad gates being stuck in the down position. Martin Luther King Drive at 22nd Street between US 41 and Hillcrest Avenue. The only other issue on the screen. Weather today, it's going to be a bit warmer than yesterday, but still cold. Overcast skies, a high of 40. Right now it's foggy, cloudy, and 34 degrees downtown, but don't worry, we'll be in the 60s this weekend. For our Phoenix listeners, partly cloudy skies with a high of 63. Right now it's overcast and 50. In sports, Blackhawks blew a 3-1 lead, and then Florida tacked on a couple of empty netters to pull away late, beating the Hawks 6-3 last night down in South Florida. Coyotes were off there at Minnesota tonight. Bulls were off last night. They'll host the Thunder tonight at the UC. That's a 7 p.m. tip. Suns beat the Grizzlies 122-99. And in NFL offseason news, Bears defensive lineman Roy Robertson-Harris signed a big deal with Urban Meyer and the Jaguars. 3-year deal, $24.4 million. Chief.
How many times can Urban Meyer retire because of health?
Basically every job.
Every job. It's Joel, how are you?
Good morning, Chief. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm going to ask you guys just a simple question. When the Fed says inflation is transitory, let's say, for instance, used car prices are up 11.4% last year, which is the number. Now, does that mean at the end of this year they stabilize at that number, or do they actually go back down? What does transitory mean? Do they go back down, or do you stay at the new level?
It's supposed to mean that it goes back down.
Do you believe that
temporary.
For a second? Yeah, do you believe that for a second?
That's why I don't buy a new car, Chief.
That'll fix the problem. That's a used car. New cars are only up 6.4.
Yeah, I'm done with cars. I'm just waiting for like the Tesla. Like if I want to go grocery store, just boom, say Tesla, grocery store, phone, and then in like 30 seconds a car shows up in your house. You hop in. You don't even have to tell it where to go. It takes you to the grocery store. That's where we're heading. That's where technology is heading, Chief. So I'm not worried about new car prices.
Didn't that what they did in, what George Jetson used to do?
Love the Jetsons, yeah. They were ahead of their time.
Yeah.
Huh?
He was called a,
I don't
called
know
a,
about spaceships yet, but how about this market, Chief?
Yeah.
You just can't keep it. Keep it down.
Well, I don't know if it's the market or the Fed, but definitely is the market. And if you're not in, you're. You got to be in, but you got to be careful. I mean, it's if you're in the wrong spot, you get clobbered. I mean, in earnings and stuff, we were in a couple of them went the wrong way, pretty big. I mean, it's
yeah. I mean, I stick with boring. You know, boring pays the bills. You know, the value growth play, value growth, Kathy Woods and stuff. I mean, you know, I'm still a firm believer. You know, you need the big boys to move and. They're perking up a little bit. Apple's perking up this morning a little bit. Microsoft, too. I mean, you know, they're a big component in the index. You got to see them move and start. At least don't go down, right? But new all-time highs. We have the quad weights coming on Friday. That should be interesting. And, And then March Madness, you know, it's a big week, Chief. I have to tell you, I have a little soft spot in my heart for those Fighting Illini. Man, they're good.
Yep.
I just their coach is good. I mean, I haven't seen Gonzaga play, so for full disclosure, I guess they have three potential pros on their team. But I look at you know, the center you guys have there. You know, what is Kofi Cockburn and you know, that guard. How do you pronounce his name, Maddie? I always say it wrong.
Ayo Dosunmu.
Ayo Dosunmu, with a name like that, how can you go long? that shooting guard, Frazier's good. The other guard, I mean, I don't know. We'll see what happens. Michigan obviously lost Isaiah Livers, lost that heartbreaker to Ohio State. Joanne, I'm not totally happy with his coaching in the Big Ten tournament. Had that little scuffle with Mark Turgeon, which is okay. But I just don't like that last shot we took against Ohio State. Never got the ball inside to Hunter Dickinson, and he had been dominating a lot. So, Juwan did a good job, coach of the year and whatnot, but a little disappointed in his performance over the weekend.
Well, what'd you think of the last shot in regulation of Illinois? Guard comes down, or is like...
Horrible, too. Yeah,
ten seconds, 9 seconds.
That was horrible shot, too.
I'm like, 8 seconds, I mean, it must be a 7 second play. It must be a 6 second play. All of a sudden, 4 seconds, the guy heaves it up.
So, Joel, what.
I know. I mean, off balance, too.
What did you think of Michigan's draw? I mean, obviously, you know, you should beat the 16 playing team, but then you got LSU or St. Bonaventure in the second round, and both those teams are pretty tough.
Yeah, I know. I know. LSU, I actually watched that LSU Alabama game. And, boy, oh, boy, those teams look quick. I know. I got just a new perspective on the tournament this year. And it's just, I'm glad there's a tournament. You know, a year, a pandemic can really change your perspective on things. I'd love to see us get to the Sweet 16. I think that if we don't get to the Sweet 16, yeah, we won the Big Ten Championship. But I'll be a little bit disappointed, even with Isaiah Livers going down. And then the 2 seed in our bracket is Alabama, and they're tough. They won the regular season in the SEC. They also won the tournament in a tough game with LSU. I have a little sentimental feeling. The coach there, Nate Oates, he was a high school coach in Romulus, Michigan,
really?
Not too far from the airport for several years. So. He cut his teeth in the Detroit area, so I got a lot of favorites. You know, deep heart, I want my Go Blue to do it, but I think it's going to be tough.
They
got a tough road, and then they got to beat Gonzaga to get to the championship. So they got a tough road to hoe.
When I was on the training floor a long time ago, I went to one of those Calcuttas, and that was the year Phi Slamma Jamma was in there, and there's like $300,000 in the pot, and these guys paid.
Yeah,
45 or 50 for that team, and I don't think they won, but they made money because they came in second. But there's no team here that is. I mean, who's the favorite, Manny, and what's the odds? I mean, Gonzaga.
Gonzaga's the favorite by far, and but you know they're less than 50%. I mean, it's not obviously, but they're the favorite by far, according to Vegas, and according to just they're the number one overall seed.
Well, it's not like they can't be beat. I've watched them a few times, actually, and they I don't know if they have the outright talent that maybe a couple other teams do, but they seem to be averaging like a year and a half to 2 years older.
Well, I think they have the best point guard in the country, Jalen Suggs,
right,
who's a one-and-done, who's going to be a lottery pick, and I think he may be like he may be a top-five pick. He's that good freshman. And then they have a couple really good big guys. The thing about them this year is everyone rips on them for being in the West Coast Conference, and rightfully so. But this year, they actually played a really tough out-of-conference schedule and beat everybody.
Where else could they be?
What?
What other conference? Where else would they be?
Well, they're not. Point being, they're not in the Power Five. They're not in the Pac-12 or something like that, where they're playing big schools every night. They're playing like San Francisco and St. Mary's and schools like that.
Well, if you don't play football, you're skunk, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
And no, in Illinois, you know, another thing about Illinois, they never won the title. They never won it, so they're due. Definitely overdue. They've had some great teams over the years. But good luck with your brackets and everything.
Yeah.
And I'll let you guys finish up.
All right, take care, buddy. SP Futures up 450. SP Futures up 77. We'll be right back. Kenny Polcari.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Well, and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Al. Mr. Matt Weber on the board. We have Mr. Kenny Polcari with us. S&P futures up 450. NASDAQ futures up 74. Usually, Kenny, when we hit an all-time high, Maddie's got a little Sheen Easton for us, but not today.
Yeah, we're hitting all-time highs across every index except at the moment the NASDAQ, because that got so beaten up a couple of weeks ago, it just needs a little bit of time to catch up. That's all.
But it will. Just keep throwing that money in, buddy. But we don't know how much money they're throwing in now because they won't tell us anymore.
Well, and listen, and the money that they are throwing in is going to the wrong bank accounts, but at least it's going somewhere. At least somebody's getting it. None of it hit my bank account, just so you know.
That's so refreshing that other people are getting it.
Yes. I hear you.
It's so refreshing that we're bailing out San Francisco and Illinois without any regard to any kind of changes.
San Francisco, Chicago, New York, it's so interesting because now that whole conversation about guaranteed basic income is sweeping across those three states. Isn't that interesting? Chicago, New York, and Illinois, that they all want basic income now, $500. Andrew Yang is running for governor, mayor of New York City on that platform of universal basic income across the city for all the residents in upstate New York and all that stuff.
Do you even have to go to work?
Apparently, you don't have to anymore. You know what I mean? You can get paid to stay home, and I guess everyone's okay with that.
There was a guy, and I'm going to guess, Kenny, he was one of your favorites. There was a guy who was president that proposed something called the negative interest income tax, and in a lot of ways, it was genius in its simplicity. And who was that guy?
I don't remember. Who was it?
Tricky Dick.
Nixon. Oh, Tricky Dick. My God, 1972, 74. I was 12 years old when Tricky Dick was president.
It's all right. You were into politics back then. I could see you. But he proposed a negative income tax. I think I was in school. And people were horrified. How can you send a check to people that don't work? And he basically said, with all these absurd programs we have, with people in their finger in the pie in the program, if we get rid of all those people, and just said, you know what, if you don't make any dough, here's $3,000, don't bug us. you know, it was designed in such a way where if you worked even a little bit, you got like $2,800 or something. No matter, even if you made 40 cents, you didn't lose like the whole thing. And everybody's just appalled at the moral outrage and the, what do they call it? That everybody uses when you don't, anyway. But, and yet, you could have gotten rid of all your food stamp programs, all your other programs, all of everything, and all those people involved, and fired how many people to get their finger in the pie. And then Johnson, because I think he was mindful of Johnson before him with his Great Society program. And I remember at the time reading, I was young, but I still read some stuff in the papers, that if you would have divided the amount of all the poor people into the amount of the Great Society and sent them a check, you wouldn't have had any poor people. So it was kind of a response to that. What do we need all these programs with everybody, with every community activist, with every preacher, with every senator, everybody's got their finger somewhere in the pile. Just get them the hell out of there and send people a check.
Agreed. Now listen, I'm not by any stretch am I saying that people who need the help shouldn't get the help. I absolutely think that they should. But you're absolutely right. If you want to do universal basic income, then get rid of all the other support programs, because all you're doing is doubling and tripling up. And you're right. It's ripe for fraud. It's ripe for That's all I'll say. But I'm not suggesting that we should walk away from people in need, but does everybody in New York City need basic guaranteed income? Because that's what Andrew Yang's run on. Everybody gets it. Everybody gets it.
Well, the question becomes then, from where? From borrowed money, from other people's money, or from printed money?
Well, he started to define that. He's going to take away all the taxes from Madison Square Garden. He's going to take away tax abatements from big real estate conglomerates in New York City. There's no reason they need tax abatements. So he's just going to keep hitting, all the people that provide jobs and opportunity in New York City. He keeps hitting them over the head. So then they're going to pick up and they're going to go to places. Florida's going to say, come on down. We're happy to have you. And, Texas and Nevada and all these other, either low-income or no-income tax states, they're going to take complete advantage. But New York and California and Chicago, they think the way out is just keep raising the taxes, just keep taking the benefits away, keep driving business out of the city, and that's going to make it all better.
Well, I think, on the basic end of it, it was interesting, Kenny. I took two classes from George Stigler. I tell this all the time, but when you have, I'm going to say, people like you, doesn't make you bad. You. At some point in the last year or the last month or the last week, you probably ranted somewhere that if only government was run like a business.
Right.
Well, the simple fact is, according to George Stigler, who was a Nobel Prize winner and smarter than me for sure, he said it's exactly run like a business. Exactly. It's just a different business that we don't understand. He goes, the reason why that you look at the numbers of people and you say, we got X number of poor people in New York, if I promise them all a check, that's X number of votes.
It's exactly the same thing as
you putting out a new car. I was going to say Oldsmobile because I don't have Oldsmobile. A new Cadillac with a color nobody else has got, a pearl white or something.
And the fact that they now want to open up, they want to lower the voting age to 16 years old now, which I think is ridiculous, because a 16-year-old, I hate to say it, can't count to 10 and they can't do something else either. And so to lower the age to 16 to say go out and vote is an absurdity to me.
Well, when those guys, when you think of the business, Kenny, the thing that screws it all up, in my opinion, is if you and I are running for office, all right?
Yeah.
It's just like we're competing for a pavement job on the Dan Ryan. It ought to be. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, where you come out and you say, I can put taxes at this level, and by the way, my city services are going to be at this level, and I'm so efficient that I can get you from A to B, and I come out and I say, wait a minute, Kenny couldn't wipe his way out of a toilet. I'm going to have your taxes 10% cheaper, and oh, by the way, your services are going to be better. Your garbage will be picked up three times a week instead of Kenny's paltry two. I mean, that's supposed to be the political debate. But as soon as you can promise this stuff and then deliver it through borrowed money, the whole thing falls apart.
Yeah.
Because now all of a sudden, I delivered what I said to these people. They keep voting for me, but the part where I said we're going to have a balanced budget, it isn't really. And even the states that have balanced budget amendments, or cities, mostly cities, they cheat anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, Daley sold the parking meters for 75 years to get them okay for 2 years. Well, that sort of sucks. I mean, right? So you got to stop the games, because then the politics does become essentially an auction, just like for pavement. Your way of doing it versus mine. But as soon as you can start borrowing and you start paying people's pensions to get their vote that you can't possibly pay 20 years from now, nobody cares that year. Those guys will be long gone. They'll be president.
Exactly right.
So,
which is, you know, that brings up the point that all these people, you know, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and all these people that are trying to set policy now, you know, the average age, I think I put it in my note the other day, the average age of all these people is like 77 years old. Where are they going to be? For some reason, when the bill comes due, my sense is they're not going to be around.
Right, oh yeah.
Yet they're happy to, you know, they're happy to just you know, create all this chaos and leave it on for the next generation to figure out.
Well, but the Republicans, on the other hand, now I'm in the middle, it's lonely, Kenny. I mean, you can't go with a federal budget to where 7% of your income is from major corporations when they've got all the dough. They used to pay, what, 17? I'm not saying it should be 50, but 7? It's a little light. Right?
Right.
You said that like you didn't believe it. These guys aren't paying anything. And then it's one thing.
I hear you.
Yeah. But it's one thing if you shut down Kenny and Chi's blue jeans for the pandemic in deference to Amazon. It's quite another if Kenny and Chi are paying 32% of their income in taxes and the other idiots are paying 5. You're talking about slitting your own throat.
Yeah.
I mean, right? I mean, the stupidity of this, you and I have talked this before. I mean, not only by shutting down, I'll use the term Macy's in Water Tower, not only is it, you know, you're benefiting somebody that you wonder why. I mean, you know, in terms of the disease, whether it really made any difference or not. But the other hand, Macy's is paying property taxes. They're paying sales taxes. And oh, by the way, they're probably paying to 30%, whatever the rate is, or 25, the corporate rate's 20, like 25 or 21. Right. Amazon's not doing any of that stuff.
Agreed. Don't even get me. I agree with you. That's where, you know, something has to be done. I do agree that something has to be done with places like Amazon that are taking complete advantage. I have to say, I don't disagree with that.
Kenny, what about the market? How much higher are we going to go?
Well, listen, I think the market's going to digest today after its most recent rally. I think everyone's going to be opining and speculating on what Jay Powell's going to say tomorrow. And while I expect him to say exactly the same thing, there's going to be this hyper-focus on the dot plot and who moved their dots around the plot and what does that say about the investment, the psyche within the Fed. So that's going to be the big topic of discussion today and tomorrow, is which way did the dot move and what does that mean for the market. So I think the markets remain vulnerable to a bit of downside if the dots all move around the graph in a way that Jay Powell can't really explain it or the market doesn't believe his explanation. So let's see. I do think that the path of least resistance right now is lower versus higher. I think it feels a little bit tired here, but we'll see.
One of your lady friends on CNBC yesterday mentioned, you can't deny the fact that we've gone from no inflation to temporary inflation.
Right.
Well, right. The none was a lie is the temporary a lie, I mean, I guess. Kenny, take care of yourself. By the way, we had more snow and sleet last night. I'm sure you're happy to hear that.
Yeah, well, I don't know. It's 85 degrees here, sunny and gorgeous. I got palm trees and Bermuda shorts on, so I'm all good.
Well, have an umbrella drink for us. Got to make sure the sun doesn't get to that drink. SP Futures up 5, NASDAQ Futures up 5. No, NASDAQ Futures up 75. Be right back, Stocks and Jocks.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. Do you know when the unofficial start of real estate season is in the Chicago area? It's actually right after the Super Bowl. Yep, it's the time when the guys will finally get off the couch and the families start looking for homes in the area. Now, interest rates also have been hovering around 4%, and the selection of properties are great. And if you're a first-time home buyer, there is an Illinois program that allows you to purchase a home for only 1% down. And that also applies to anyone who hasn't owned a home in the past 3 years. So if you're thinking about it, this is the perfect time. Call or email me, and I will send you a free list of homes designed to your specifications in your area. My phone number is 708-349-3456, or you can email me, AudreyJohnson@Realtor.com. That's AudreyJohnson@Realtor.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now. Right
here, right now, right now. There's something happening here.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Holley, Mr. Matt Weber on the board. S&P Futures up 5, NASDAQ Futures up 72, Dow Futures down 7. What do we got in the Dow? We've got Apple's up a buck. We've got Chevron down a buck. Not much going on there, so it's, that's why it's almost unchanged. The Dow and the S&P closed at record yesterday. The NASDAQ did not, but who knows? Maybe they will in the next few days. Jeff, how are you, buddy?
Good morning, Chief. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Hanging in there. I mean, the slush and snow yesterday was a nasty surprise, but I guess we're over that today, right?
I think so, right? I think we're good going forward. That could be it.
So what was your last edition a big hit? It looked like it might be.
You know, it's gotten a great reception. Strong interest in outer space, and as long as you throw a little clickbait in there about aliens and UFOs, there seems to be even a larger interest. So those two topics play well together.
Well, can I register as an expert through you guys?
Of course. I think you are the expert that we refer to.
Well, we can
make I see Elon Musk has a new title too. He's a techno king now. So
I saw that. That's great.
He has a little bit of an ego, but he makes good on it most of the time. I mean, he's no dummy, that's for sure.
Hey, listen, I'm a fan. I think his persona is one that invites a lot of interest and controversy. But there's only so many people out there willing to put their own capital on the line and make some big changes. So I'm a big fan. Bezos, on the other hand, is you can take him as far as I'm concerned.
Well,
I was really impressed by Bill Maher this past weekend. I thought he had a fantastic show. I know you're not always a fan, I don't know if your listeners saw it. They saw Scott Galloway, who is somebody I have a high regard for. He's in my holy trinity right now of journalists or voices that I have the most regard for right now. That would be along with Matt Taibbi, whom we've talked about, and
yep.
Glenn Greenwald, of course, and then Scott Galloway brings up the third.
What about Matt Knight?
He's a professor at over NYU at the business school, and he just has a very unique voice. And he was speaking to Amazon and speaking to the monopoly that they built and our reluctance to take that on from an antitrust standpoint. And I'm always pleased to hear somebody articulate that sentiment.
But I think they've taken advantage of incredible amounts of, what should we say, weaknesses in the system. I actually, on an antitrust standpoint, I don't have near as much issue with those guys, just on the letter of the law, Jeff, even though I don't like what they've done any more than you do. But I think they've been allowed to do that through ignorant state officials and people maybe who got paid off, who knows. But from an antitrust standpoint, I don't think they're anywhere near as guilty is like a Microsoft that has done the vertical integration and you can't buy this unless you take this. Those guys, to me, have been way worse in terms of abusing the law. I think Amazon just found their way through the laws. I don't like where they're at, but you know what I'm saying?
I think it's a big company and they have a lot of interest and it's easy to paint a big brush. I would be more narrow and specific too. First of all, you have to split Amazon up and talk about the retail side, you know, the e-commerce side versus the cloud business, which of course is still the big money maker. And I quite frankly don't know what the angle would be with respect to antitrust scrutiny on the cloud, on the AWS side, Amazon Web Services. They built their business with a distinctly better product, and they built it through acquisition, and I've never seen a compelling case made that those acquisitions squelched competitive activity. But on the e-commerce side, they have business practices that they've been fined for some exorbitant amounts, particularly out of the EU, and that don't pass any type of scrutiny or smell test. And that's predominantly using the data from the customers they have on their platform, meaning all the vendors, identifying those products that sell the most, replicating those products, and essentially pushing aside their vendors to sell their own generic versions.
I'm with you on that.
We know full well that Bezos wanted the toilet paper business, and he didn't care that it would cost him $100 million because he knew over time he'd make that back just by acquiring customers. And then, you know, there's so many companies that they've actually just completely ripped off their product. And this is there's a book called Monopoly Suck, and I forget the female author's name, but it's a good book that documents this pretty well. And a read of that, and there's no love lost for Amazon.
Sally Hubbard is the writer.
Sally Hubbard, yes.
Thank you. I've heard of that book. It's supposed to be really good. I've not read it. I know more about all the different things they do, and I have heard about them shoving retailers out of the way once they get the product. But that's I'm not defending them, Jeff. You know I never would.
Oh, of course not.
I mean, I don't know. Where do you?
They're indefensible. I'm just wondering how come the word boycott is.
Well,
now they're bubbling up, of course, for different reasons. These are labor issues, which I must admit I'm also less conversant on. But of course, they do have labor issues.
Oh, sure,
issues,
they do. Yeah.
And there's threat of unionization. But as Scott, just to close out the point on what Mara was speaking to on the show, Scott Galloway noted that there's more Amazon lobbyists on Capitol Hill now than the combination. I forgot what the stat was, but then maybe the next 10 largest companies, something to that effect.
Well, I mean,
Amazon owns Washington right now, and they own legislation. And I think there's your answer as to why they've been allowed to proliferate in the manner that.
Well,
they have.
But look at your state government. We're flat ass broke, right?
You look at our state government.
Yeah, and our city government, okay, and we've got nailing people, 50,000 warning tickets went out on the cameras, and we are running around from restaurant to restaurant trying to give people fines for having three people sitting together at a bar instead of two, which is insane. And yet, we absolutely will not go after anybody who has not paid the taxes that they owe through Amazon. Is it because, Jay Pritzker's wife is going up as being, the biggest TV buyer not paying taxes? Why is that? Why are we, as an enforcement of something where we need the money, why is that a sacred cow? The idea, anybody listening thinks that because it's not collected means you don't owe. Good luck with that.
Sure.
I think there's some number, I forget it, it was if it's over like $100, you're supposed to, maybe it's $500, you're supposed to pay quarterly, Jeff. So if you go out and buy five TVs for your house, like maybe, a Pritzker might, you gotta pay that quarterly, the sales tax. Now since they have, places here, most of the stuff you're probably paying tax on as it comes. I don't know that you pay a city tax. You might. But, for years and years, that's how they grew. And right. To me, when I first moved into the hood, I'd go over to the Best Buy, And the thought that those guys, not that I'm a huge Best Buy fan, are paying property taxes and paying sales taxes, and the guy next to me has got his machine out, and he's taking a picture of the TV and going home and ordering on Amazon and not paying the tax. I mean, you got to be the dumbest, you know, person in the state to not collect that. And to tell people it's okay, and, I mean, talk about slitting your throat, because guess what? Someday Best Buy is going to be out of business, and you lose the corner, you lose the property tax, you lose everything, right?
I mean, well, as Galloway noted on the Bezos paid about $40 billion, I guess, in his divorce settlement, and he made that back in 1 month personally last year.
Yeah, I mean, so, well, what did Kevin say yesterday that the, actually he called me, talking about, we talked about with you, the China, the Uyghurs, and that the, that Nike and Apple both came out and said that they don't get anything from that promise, and but all the lobbyists that stopped the bill were Nike and Apple. I mean, it's amazing the stuff we look at and the stuff we don't look at. I mean, we want to throw, I don't like the guy. We can't wait to throw in New York. 90% of the press is throwing this guy out of office, and for I think he was unwanted advances or whatever the hell he was doing. And yet we gleefully will send off an email about how the guy should be thrown out as we go down the block and buy a pair of Nikes. I mean, are we out of our mind?
Exactly.
I mean,
exactly.
I mean, I don't even know where you start, Jeff. And now the new thing from the federal government is to take on.
There's a lot of selective outrage out there. I was reminded of the same yesterday, just when. You know, I'm a long music fan, like I suppose we all are, and I made a history and a habit of watching the Grammys just because I love music, and particularly live music, and across all genres, I think, for the most part. So I taped the Grammys and actually got to watch a little bit last night to complete dismay, not just because of the forum itself, you know, obviously music needs an audience in many cases, particularly a live show. So you have to set aside some criticism just because of the circumstances, but just the nature of the devolution of American music and what it was, and it was a mess. I started thinking to myself as an older guy, thinking, all right, am I falling into the trap? Would I have been screaming at Elvis Presley or at the Beatles and saying that just this is wrong? And the music was, there were performances that were just way too much for television, and the quality of the music didn't impress me. It's not like prior years when you could see extraordinary collaborations like Elton John and Eminem singing together, or Madonna and Gorillaz, just some of the best things you've ever seen, you'd see on the Grammy shows. But that's not what I saw last night, and it's a shame. I'm trying to see where things are, where some things are improving. I don't think it's American music.
What do you think? Not to change subject, but I guess I'm going to. Where do you think the administration, in terms of the money, I mean, the other stuff, I've gotten all kinds of emails. I was talking to earlier with Kenny, actually with Brendan, regarding the unevenness of all its money that's flying around the place, and essentially taking state debt over by the federal government. Now we're talking about a huge tax increase for nobody under $400,000. I don't know how those numbers match up. Last year the deficit was $3 trillion, for God's sake. I don't see how anybody, because I sure as hell can't get your arms around that kind of money. I mean, do we really think that we, as much as the rich people don't pay enough in some ways I think they do, but some ways they don't. Do we really think that anybody has the wherewithal to come up with that kind of dough? These numbers, I don't think that the Bidens of the world, and even the people in the Fed, understand what the hell they're doing here with just the incredible, now we're going to send money to everybody without any sort of United Airlines. Everybody's going to get paid until what? Until everybody's flying again? I mean, what are we doing? I mean, are they going to be made whole? Their balance sheet's going to be the way it was? I mean, when are we going to stop? I mean, I don't.
They're,
I mean,
they're really placing a big bet on modern monetary theory. Sold a couple books last year, so they figure maybe we can just print money without any regard for anything.
Well, there's been enough examples of people doing that, going back to Rome, where it didn't work. That why these guys feel they're that different, I have no idea. I was, matter of fact, I get one of those. Someone hooked me up with this Quora Digest, which is, you know, the interesting stuff in there. So somebody writes in and says, "What is one thing human beings have been doing the same from like day one?" And I'm thinking, "Oh, where's this going?" Right. So sure enough, they show all these cave pictures of, you know, people with, what shall we say, men and women with nothing to do from like 5,000 years ago. You know what? Everything's the same. Everything's the same, Jeff. I mean, it's like it looked like the Kama Sutra before it was written. You know, it's like, I mean, people don't change. I mean, let's keep shaving. What the
well, even that's changed a little bit this year, I would think, right?
Yeah. But I mean, it's why Maddie's always upset. He can't invent a new fetish. They've all been invented before. Yeah. Just saying, you know, everybody tries to invent one, but you can't because somebody thought of it before. But I mean, you can't think of it.
Yeah, that's true. Masks have been around for a while.
All right. I mean, you can't. Can you really invent a new economic trick? I mean, how can you? They've all been tried before.
Now, is that a metaphor, or are we back to economics?
Well, but it's the same thing. I mean, it's not like, you know, people haven't tried to degrade their currency to work their way out of debt before, right? I mean, this isn't like the new monetarists have, wow, this could work. Well, gee, you think nobody thought of that before them? I mean, what are the Romans? The original Roman coin had enough silver in it to actually match a day's work. So you got one coin per day's work, whatever that one coin was. Probably smaller coins make change. And over a period of time, you ended up with like, what, 1/10, 1/20th of the amount of silver in there. You just kept making more coins. And where did Rome end up? You know, and a lot of it was currency devaluation. A lot of it was other things. But they as people stop working, as people doing other stuff, I mean, you ended up with the mercantilist theory. What did you do? You devalued your currency, then the other guy devalued his, then the other guy devalued his. The only thing different this time is, as a unit, the world is devaluing it together. Right? And that I think is what's keeping people on this track where you say, God, the dollar's going down. Well, no, it's not. Look at the euro. No, it's the idea is we have people schooled, and it's only going down based on other currencies. We only look at that. But if you look at it going down in relation to every other asset, I mean, did the market really go up 20% last year, or did the dollar go down 25%? Nobody thinks that way, right? Unless you were foolish enough to take currency classes in grad school like I did. I mean, that's what inflation is. It has nothing to do with the price of wheat going up. It's the price of the dollar going down, right?
Right.
I mean, but we're not trained to think of it that way.
It's a good point. We lose sight of the macro trends that are right before us that are more indicative of where things are headed than anything else. And a case in point would be, you know, some might look at today, in fact, was it a year ago, I think, today, that the Dow fell 3,000 points? It was about, you know, low teens, 12-13%. Market drop in one day. Big, big move,
well,
right?
Was the day the country shut down.
Yeah.
Or the day before St. Patrick's
Day. And then look what happened during that last year. $40 trillion in market cap has been added since then. But that, again, clouds the picture. The reality is, 1 year ago, just in the last year, global technology and healthcare was 1/3 of global market cap. Well, now it's 42% 1 year later. From 1/3 to 42%. Those are unmistakable trends that represent, well, first of all, your ongoing theory about underlying asset price inflation and more specifically healthcare inflation. But when something goes from 33 to 42% in 1 year on a global basis, that's a trend that's empowering everything. So look what that means. And, you know, we didn't expand the pie. We just made some slices bigger and some smaller during the past year. That we know for certain. So you know, it's not like global GDP increased, you know, enormously. That didn't happen. So that means there's major, major parts of the global economy that have seriously contracted, probably to the point that they may no longer exist. So who does that matter to? It should matter to kids in elementary school, understanding where their future is going to be. It looks like it's technology and global healthcare, and you know those are the markets expanding. And there's many markets right now that just aren't going to exist in 5 years.
Well, there's certainly
no plan for that.
My brother Dan dug out this. I'll dig out just real quickly here because we already covered it last week. But the food price index. This is from the United Nations. And how in the cereal column, which he tells me is the most important one, right? Well, the total column from last August on a scale of a wonder, last July was 93.9. Now it's 116. But he says the cereal column is the most important one because that's where most of the world eats, because that's where bread and grains essentially are in there. And that we went from 99 last August to 125 today. So we're pushing 30%.
Really?
In like 7 months. But the interesting part is he bracketed out for me that in 2010, 2011, that number got to 137 and 142. It actually topped 2011 and 142, which corresponds almost exactly to the Arab Spring, to where people didn't have enough to feed themselves on a daily basis. And, you know, whatever you do, I mean, it's like, someday I'll find out Asian philosopher said, no man can do just one thing. I mean, you pour money in, you bail people out, and all of a sudden, the amount of money is not worth that much. I mean, anybody who thinks walking around, going to a restaurant now that have reopened, if you don't find a 20% price increase, you can't calculate. Right? I mean, I know why they're doing it. They've been closed. I mean, you got half as many tables paying the same overhead. I mean, I get it. But the same point is, I mean, Audrey and I went out the other night, and we had, had a nice time, a couple of glasses of wine, had a pizza, and was enough to take home, and a salad, $100 for pizza, and then like four glasses of wine. And that, you know, we're talking about Chianti. I mean, that's rich. I mean, you try and find a big pizza anywhere now for less than $30-$35. That's a real number. What is it? 7-1? 8-1? I mean, that we're talking about. I'd be stunned anywhere you go now that whatever you order, that the ratio of the cost to what you pay for it isn't somewhere in the neighborhood of 6-1. I'm going to say 5 years ago the number was 4.5-1, and 20 years ago it was 3-1. I mean, you love to go out, but you also got to go, good Lord. I mean, you know, I can buy this bottle of wine over at the Vin for $10, and I'm paying $9 a glass or $10 a glass. I mean, you really need 5-1 out of this thing? You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's to the point where, I mean, I still go. I mean, fortunately, I can afford it. I mean, I'm not going to expensive places every night, but, I mean, but it's to say that it's not happening, what are you doing? I mean, you're peeing on my shoes, telling me it's raining? I mean, what's the story here? But the question is, where does it end up, Jeff? Where it ends up, I think anybody who can participate in one of these government programs, you need to. And I can't believe at this age I'm saying something like this, because I never wanted a dime. I didn't earn myself. And yet, you know, it goes back to the same thing. If you had a small town and everybody's got a mailbox and somebody somewhere every morning throws a $100 bill in the mailbox, and after 3 or 4 months you find that everything at the general store or whatever the store is more expensive, everybody's getting more for their used cars, everybody's more friendly. You can sit there and say this is foolish all you want, but the last thing you want to do is knock down your mailbox. Because if you're the only guy who's not participating in the largesse, the prices are going to be the same for you. You better get in there, right? It's a scramble for these federal funds. Because if you're left out, I mean, the people that are getting the, you know, God knows how much money for being closed, and they're not even closed. We're not saying the name, and it wasn't the place I was at. I was talking to some restaurant owner this weekend. That his revenue, no, most a lot of these places are closed. A lot of them managed to sell as much takeout because they happen to have a place next door or whatever. The place in Joliet, nobody will know the name of the place, so I won't even say it. He said they actually did as well on pizza carryout as they did when they were closed.
Oh, sure.
But now, but now they were closed. And part of this new bill is if you were closed, you get to get, since they're called the Employee Retention Act or something, you get like all the, whatever, the payroll tax, whatever. They got a $140,000 check.
So I mean, because they legislate from behind. It's true, and you know, I follow the restaurant industry closely, and a large Chicago restaurant owner just recently told me, in other words, a multi-store owner just recently told me the exact same thing. His Lincoln Park businesses are on a year-over-year basis up about 13-14%, and that's because takeout and online ordering has increased from a single-digit number to over 40% of his revenues. So his costs have gone down materially. He's one of the lucky ones because he has a brand, and he can do that. So he's doing extraordinarily well. Meanwhile, just think of the other restaurants that, you're not ordering online from a diner. You know, it's just not, just doesn't happen, right? So.
Well, the idea
it,
that
it creates this further separation.
But Jeff, I'm not going to curse you with this, but you're sort of like me in the sense that when you see something happening, you say, okay, why is that happening? We're not growing in this country. If somebody's winning, that means somebody else is losing, which it shouldn't be. There was a time in our life where if somebody was winning, it just meant the other guy wasn't growing as fast. But now, if somebody's winning, when you're not growing, somebody's losing. And the interesting part is, I was listening to one of the ladies on CNBC, or one of the guys, the lady was giving the report, and she was saying how the business confidence is up fairly dramatically by the people they're polling. Well, the story before that was 80,000 businesses are gone. Well, of course, if you're one of the guys that are left, the future probably looks pretty bright for you. But that's
if you're left to answer the question.
Yeah.
That's true.
So right. I mean, just like the guys you're talking about and the guys I'm talking about, the actual dude that shut down 6 months ago, he's not getting a penny, right?
Uh-huh.
So, but it's so bizarre the way we're thinking or not thinking. S&P futures up 6, NASDAQ futures up 73. Be right back.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we have always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Howard, just my Weber of the board. S&P futures up 4 now. S&P futures up 71. They barely budged here with the retail sales number in February down 3%. We're supposed to be, the expectators had it at 0.5% drop. So, granted, we were up 5.3 in January, so this is becoming a fairly volatile number. Dow futures are unchanged. We're in Europe. We got the DAX up 92.6%, FTSE up 57.8%, CAC around up 21.4%. In Asia, we've got, again, rallies over here too. Not huge, but finally across the board as opposed to one up, one down. Nikkei up 154.5%, Shanghai up 26.8%, Hang Seng up 193.7%. As we review yesterday, record days. Both the Dow up 174 to 32,953. S&P in record territory as well, up 25. 3968, the whole number. NASDAQ was up 139, but they were not in record territory there yet. Or maybe we will, maybe we won't. Bonds, 1.6 unchanged. The Bund, minus 0.34 unchanged. Japan, positive 0.10 unchanged. Oil is down 95 cents, 64.44. Brent down a buck, 67.82. Natural gas up a penny, 2.49. Again, it's down from, I think it topped out maybe 312, something like that. RBOB down a penny to 208. And we've got gold up 380 at 1733. Silver down 11 cents, 2617. Copper down 7 cents to 406. And crypto, Bitcoin down 1469 to 55,031. And Mandy had that thing trading over 60. Was it? It didn't make 61, though, did it, Mandy, or not?
I thought it was close. I'll find it.
What do you got for us, Traffic Weather Sports?
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. Well, we had an issue on the outbound Bishop Ford earlier this morning. That appears to be clear, so that's good news. But now we have a new crash that's on the Stevenson. This is on the northbound side right at the Dan Ryan exit 292. Slow traffic on the exit ramp due to some road work, and it looks like a possible crash right there as well. So keep that in mind. That's,
how could there be a crash when everybody flies by everybody waiting to use the exit ramp and then ducks in at the absolute last second?
Right. That's the Chicago move.
Yeah.
But that's our slowest moving area right now on the inbound Stevenson. No issues on the Ryan, I-57, or the Bishop Ford. As I mentioned, that earlier crash on the Ford is all clear. Traffic building pretty heavily on both the Eisenhower and the Kennedy, as a lot of people seem to be returning to work this week because our traffic volumes are getting back to pre-pandemic delays. Not quite all the way back, but getting much closer.
But Manny, where are they going? The traffic's picking up, but the downtown area is not. They're going places. They're going right by downtown.
I don't know. Good question. Still dealing with that issue in Boys Town. Broadway between Hawthorne Place and West Addison is closed due to police activity. This has rerouted the number 36 bus, which I believe is the Broadway bus. So keep that in mind. If that's your bus, it's been rerouted due to a police investigation. Only other crash in the area is out in the western suburbs. Nergy Road at, good lord, Charlela Lane. I've never even heard of either of those.
You don't want to move there.
Yeah, we'll ignore that one. And then we have a crash an issue with railroad crossing that's being repaired in the northern suburbs. It says King Drive at Hillcrest Avenue, which is US 41, and that there's crews on the scene working to get some railroad gates up that are stuck in the down position. Everything else all good out there. Weather today, lots of fog and clouds early. Then we'll be overcast later on. Could see bits and pieces of sunshine. We'll reach a high of 40, so a bit warmer than yesterday. But the warmer weather is coming this weekend. It will be in the 60s, so that's good news. Right now it's overcast and 35, going up to a cloudy high of 40. For our Phoenix listeners, partly cloudy with a high of 63 today. Right now it's overcast and 51. In sports, Blackhawks blew a 3-1 lead and then gave up a couple of empty netters late as they fell to Florida 6-3. Coyotes were off. They're at Minnesota tonight. Bulls were off. They'll host the Thunder tonight. That's a 7 p.m. tip-off Chicago time. Suns blew out the Grizzlies 122-99. And in NFL news, the Bears former defensive lineman Roy Robertson-Harris had a great year last year, and he was rewarded by the Jaguars. He signed a 3-year, $24.4 million free agent deal. Chief.
Do the Bears have any clue that Eddie Goldman's going to sit out again? If he is, they're going to want to replace him.
I don't think there's any expectation that he will be sitting out again, but who knows?
Very, very strange. Jeff, I got a question for you. So I ended up, shall we say, in a serious discussion with a right-wing lady, although don't call her right-wing. She hates that term. I don't know, but that's sort of where she is. Anyway, regarding a Chinese goods, it was brought upon by our friend Dan Janitas last Thursday, because he has been researching a company that does container shipments. And when Dan does his research, I mean, I'm sure he's probably Zooming it now, but he goes there. He talks to everybody and all this stuff. And he was saying, the people were saying that the shipments from China are basically back to any levels they've ever been, but the container shipments toward China, and now they actually have to run empty containers back to a huge extent, because all the empties are piling up over here. So at the end of the day, whatever Trump thought he was doing, and I'm not blaming him at all, by the way. It sounds like I am, but I'm not. And the conversation I was trying to have with this person was that no matter who is in charge, to some extent, the population's in charge. I mean, Roosevelt could not have declared war on Germany in 37 or 38, even though it probably was probably well warranted what he was doing to the citizens and those kinds of things, and taking over other countries. Not that we want to be involved in Europe or whatever. I'm just saying, as a general aside, he had to wait till people were ready. And it seems to me that in this country, that China, we are absolutely not ready to not buy cheap crap, no matter how much people are enslaved, no matter how much pollution it takes, no matter how much it hurts fellow workers here. We're just not going to do it. And it doesn't matter. I'm going to say Trump tried, whether he was efficient, whether if he'd had you and me helping him, maybe he'd have done a better job. But at the end of the day, we're right back where we started from. A supply chain that's not so good. We have stuff that we're crying to get out of China, and nobody cares who they enslave or what they do. Am I right or wrong here? You and I do, but it's very rare.
Yeah, well, first of all, it's an interesting data feed to be looking at to make that assessment. So that hat tip to that. I'd love to take a look at that data. I think it gives you quite a glimpse. But, you know, there just doesn't seem to be enough incentive for people in general to forego their conveniences. You know, so yeah, I'd have to agree with your assessment. I'll bring that back to Amazon, because it's a thought I can't get out of my head lately as to how we let this happen. You know, we know we've been killing off local businesses, and, you know, and our addiction to Amazon is what's enabled all of this. And we just keep doing it, and we know the consequences of it. So, and it's because of convenience or cost. So certainly, you know, I can't imagine there's much appetite for that to change, just because we're told that inflation isn't going higher, and we see we have less money to spend each month because of healthcare costs and education costs and others that are, you know, shadow elements of inflation. We figure, you know, hey,
well, you know, it's
slipping through our fingers somewhere.
It's you know, part of it though, Jeff, is I'm not going to compare generation to generation. Although, having said that, I guess I'm going to. My grandfather, if you probably could get away if you hid it from him, but if you ever bought him something and it didn't say Union Made on it, it had to go back.
Sure.
It didn't just go in the drawer he didn't wear. It had to go back. But he knew it cost a little more, and the guy was a boilermaker. I mean, he didn't like he. What did the guy say in the natural? He came by it hard, you know, his money, and but it didn't matter. He was. The idea that what we're willing to do for convenience, I mean, in terms of, you know, Dunkin' Donuts when it used to be open in the morning, I'd say, do you really need to let these people know, the world know, that you're buying a cup of coffee here this morning? Well, I don't care. It's convenient. You know, why can't you pull out $3, for God's sake? But nobody, you can't get anywhere with that argument. But what Amazon was genius at, I mean, I bought maybe two or three things from Amazon in my life. One was a computer over at Stocks and Jacks. And the thing sucked, and they wouldn't take it back because it wasn't theirs. It was from a private third party. But it looked to me like I was buying it from Amazon. So, but I've had to buy stuff online, I'm going to say 10 times. Every single time I go online looking for auto headlights or something like that, somebody beats their price. I bought them from Manny Moe and Jack, the Pep Boys. I bought them. By getting people like, I don't want to throw her under the bus, my lovely girlfriend, once you get people to pony up to $20 for Amazon Prime, you can't talk them into saying that somebody else actually was cheaper on these headlights. What do you mean? Amazon's always the cheapest. No, it's not. I mean, and by the way, it wasn't any more convenient. I got it just as fast. I mean, but the idea to put you in the group with the $20 with the Amazon Prime, and I don't know what kind of shows you get there or don't get. I mean, I got enough TV just watching all the sports I watch, but. I mean, you cannot have that conversation. But yet there's all kinds of places that deliver just as fast and have the same price as they do. Yet, you know, by getting everybody to sign up for $20, you lock in that person for a year because, hey, I gave them $20. I mean, psychology is spectacular.
That number is, what is it, 109 now? Or
it's gone up, yeah. I don't even know.
Per year, yeah.
Time,
yeah.
I think, is up.
Yeah, so everybody. So, you mean, people think.
Hey, Matt, what percentage of your retail purchases are done through Amazon?
Good question. I would say a lot. Wife, she orders, I would say, half of. From online ordering, I would say almost 100%. Overall retail, yeah. She still makes her runs to, you know, the grocery store and to Target and things like that and actually goes to the stores. So I would say maybe half.
Yeah, and you know, I fight off those same impulses from online purchases. It's very difficult, and I abhor the company. And then you put all that in the contrast. It's just habit, right? The things we do for conveniences. And then you contrast that with what they have not paid in income taxes, you know, and federal income taxes. Just because they know how to, you know, play the game very well, and it's an amazing picture to see, you know, one business expand and contribute so little in terms of tax revenues at the federal level, and it just keeps on going.
Jeff,
would be the clause? So here's one of those rare opportunities where you have people on the left and people on the right agreeing on something. You have, you know, Warren and Sanders speaking to their excesses. You have Ted Cruz speaking to the excesses of Amazon as well. You have Washington just packed with Amazon lobbyists. There are more lobbyists now from Amazon than representing the entire healthcare sector.
That's spectacular.
In Washington. Can you imagine that, by the way? Just think that through for a moment.
They were, healthcare has been way up the top for a long time. You know, for a long time, Jeff, off topic a second, who was the spent more money on lobbying than anything? Go back 20 years. It was Fannie.
Telcos before healthcare.
It was Fannie and Freddie, and they were a government group. how special was that? Go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I thought that was an interjection.
No, well, they knew they had a sweet gig, right?
Oh yeah. Sure.
Why not?
Why aren't we lobbyists? You know, Maddie Weber would be a spectacular lobbyist.
Well, I have to tell you, you know,
Hey, he's a lobbyist. What do you think where do you think I sat before you put me on the show, man? Put me in the lobby.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. I hate Amazon as much as the next person, but I will say this.
when over the last 6 to 12 months, USPS and frankly UPS, in my opinion too, have been absolutely horrible as services, where packages are being lost, delayed, taking forever, whatever. And yet, if you order through Amazon, that whatever you ordered is on time. It's the next day. It's if they say it's going to be there at 3 o'clock, it's there right at 3 o'clock. It's amazing how good they are with that. And I would also say their streaming service, in my opinion, has overtaken Netflix. It's better. It's become better somehow. They have better content. They're starting to produce really good Amazon productions, as far as movies and series and things like that, to where they're competing with Netflix, who had a huge head start. And so, sure, as bad as they are, I mean, it's not like they're a poorly run company.
No, and,
no,
and they also they've taken their tax advantage. Huge. I have a question for you, gentlemen. I don't know if you know the answer to this. How big are they in, remember they used to say B2B? Because when my truck's having some issues, so went to our guy, and of course we had to order up a new fuel tank and a new fuel pump and stuff. And they go right to, there's four or five people online that have serious parts, auto parts stuff. They're not Amazon. Riley's, he's got a huge website. The gas tank's coming from California. Rack Auto is huge. A Auto is huge. Amazon's not even part of that. Are they as good in the B2B area? I'm thinking no, as they are in the retail area. Because if B2B area, it looks like people just go right direct to the places. Or am I wrong there? I'm just in one little spot.
I mean, who are you asking?
Because both of you
have
more
no idea. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, it seems yeah, like...
I mean, these don't guys, have a take on that either.
Because I've never bought auto parts online.
It's interesting that they
life.
Let any vertical slide, though. But clearly now they've made it very, very clear. They've telegraphed their interest in the healthcare space. Look for Amazon's online pharmacy and medical services and even telemed services to be their next big advancement.
Well, I mean...
And at that point, I
think... Why shouldn't... if I'm Amazon, all right, and want to be a disruptor, why wouldn't I hook together 10 clinics in the Chicago area that are decent and just publish my prices? Because nobody else does and rips you off, I'm not going to castigate Amazon if they were to say, we'll actually publish a price for an appendectomy or an MRI or something and come to one of our clinics. Why shouldn't they? Why should the other guys get to rip you off constantly? Without somebody coming in, and it's supposed to be competition, right? The ease at which they've come into some of these areas leads me to believe how much these people were stealing in these areas. Or is that? I get to give them a compliment too, right? The idea that some of these industries were, nobody even knew what they were paying. They didn't know what the markup was, right? You never really know what something's worth. If you actually are a competitive economist kind of guy like me, which I think you two guys both are, you don't know how much the real price of a hamburger should be until the guy next door says, I can give you just as good a one for half the price. Right? Because I may think it's important to pay. I got to believe that, I use a Tripoli Tap example, I'm sure that you could talk Nick into thinking that he's worth $1 million a year. Right? But if he pays himself that, guess what? The price of a burger at Tripoli is going to be 10 times anywhere else. That's the beauty of competition, right, Jeff? I'm sure there's people in my industry that think in my job at PTI, hey, this guy's worth $10 million a year. Well, that's fine, but it's competitive. Where am I going to get the $10 million to pay myself, right? If I start charging that much, I don't have a client. So that's why you need to be careful about these monopoly businesses. But because Amazon... one of Audrey's friends worked there for a while. It was pretty brutal. They don't pay people a lot. They get rid of her as soon as they got somebody younger. They're not doing anybody any favors.
Not known for treating their warehouse employees very well.
And I'm not so sure the distancing and the masks and all the other stuff were going on there, but nobody cared. I want my Amazon box, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of our selective, our politicians, the one thing I do remember from the George Stiglitz classes is they do what we want them to do because that's what gets them elected. And it's scary when you look at these people and you say collectively they're doing what we want them to do. They would or they wouldn't be getting elected, right, Jeff?
Well, that's depressing.
Well, I mean, I mean, when you talk about a government that lives beyond their means, we have a population that lives beyond their means.
Well, I don't know if you guys have seen this on Twitter. I mean, I don't know if either of you are active on Twitter, so maybe you haven't. But I can tell you that after Biden was elected, for a month, 2 months, 3 months after that, people have constantly been tweeting, you know, where's my $1,400?
Yeah.
And this is well before, you know, it's been official that you're going to get $1,400 if you make under a certain amount of money. People literally, I mean, there's people very, very outspoken that said basically, I voted for you specifically because I want a $1,400 check, which to me is weird, but it's there.
And why do you think it's weird? Why is it weird?
I don't know. I don't know. I just think there's much more important things over a 4-year span than getting a $1,400 check.
There's a lot of people that even though, I mean, it's sort of like, it's like saying, how could you vote for Trump because all he does is lie? And yet if you talk to...
Well, I got nothing for 4 years for voting for Trump except just headaches and annoyance for 4 years.
You got two checks. You got two checks.
I didn't get two checks. And
somebody did.
Yeah, somebody did. And then, you know, I mean, frankly, I would argue, I feel like in a lot of ways I've gotten nothing from the federal government ever, but you could say that's privilege. I don't know.
Well, my point is that the people who voted for Trump would say, why are you saying that he lies? There hasn't been a politician ever in my life that anything worthwhile that hasn't lied to me. From Bush, no new taxes. From Manuel, no new taxes. Okay, I'll raise all the fees. So they just thought Trump was on a different level, but on things that mattered, he lied just like everybody else, right? And so he gave out $1,800. To everybody, and now this guy's giving out $1,400. But it's the first time that people have actually gotten a bone from government. Before, they just feel all the rich people got some. At least I'm getting a little bit. Now, the math, since we don't seem to educate people too much anymore, the math is, let's see, if I divide this by the amount of money, I just put $18,000 on my tax bill, and they gave me $1,400. That's a horrible deal. But right now, Jeff, who's thinking that way, right? We maybe should, but we're not.
I'm not sure I followed that. Run those numbers by me.
Well, I mean, take $1.9 trillion divided by the amount of taxpayers, it comes out to like $20,000. Right? So you're going to get a check for $1,400 somewhere along the line.
Where did the money go?
Where did it go? And I'm going to say I'll use this term. It's not that early anymore. There's going to be a bifurcation between the people who got most of the dough and the people that are going to pay for it eventually. They will not be the same people. Now, do we really think the United Airlines is going to pay back the $5 or $10 billion they got from the government? Or Boeing or any of these other people? No. They're just going to pay like regular taxes.
We made the car people do it, didn't we?
No.
10 years ago, they paid back, supposedly.
They gave the government some equity.
After they stepped on the bondholders.
Yeah, they screwed the bondholders, and they totally buried GM, for instance. GM, the stock went out worthless. The government got money, got stock, and they ended up selling the stock for enough of a profit. But the reason why they did that is they stole it from the bondholders and the other shareholders. They got nothing. So that's really where the money came from, right, Jeff?
Yes, exactly.
So the government did fine on their... And there, it's like when somebody goes bankrupt, you want to be big enough of a bondholder, or to get a seat at the table, because then you get the new equity. So if the place comes out of bankruptcy decently, you get the money, not the old people. Because that's when people say, well, you know, United Airlines came back, they did, but not for the old shareholders. Same way with General Motors. Same way with if Kmart ever comes back, or Sears. But it's not the same people. It's like I sent out an email to everybody yesterday, and one of the guys, I forget his name, but he's big time, a famous investor. I'm going to say big time, and he was saying that just like in 2000, you got to stay in tech because tech will lead the day again, even if it doesn't look like it's doing so good right now, even if interest rates go up. And I got to believe, Jeff, the first thing in your mind is what popped in my mind. Yes, tech will lead the day. It won't be the same companies. If you got those, you could be nothing. But yes, the word tech will lead the day. But it might not be the same place, right? Where's Sony now, right? You know, Where's yeah. Polaroid? I mean, those were tech, right?
Right.
Kodak. So what's the response to the new magazine? And have you figured out what the next one's going to be about? You got like a minute.
Well, the next one, we're working on SPACs right now. So our next issue is going to be all about SPACs. We just recently talked to the number one SPAC attorney in the country, the one who did, cool. That's Doug Elinoff. He did more SPAC deals as a firm, the firm with his name on it, than any other attorney, including Kirkland and Sherman and Sterling and others. So we talked about, you know, how that works and why, and then we were looking really at the kind of myths and misconceptions about SPACs. You know, we're hearing too much financial media just reporting foolishly about SPACs being good or SPACs being bad, which is the equivalent of saying an IPO is good or bad. It's just simply a structure, and too often the financial media likes to generalize, so we're trying to really sparse down that the due diligence aspects of SPACs, you know, what to look for, what not to look for, what trends are going to end, which ones will continue, and we also talked to a very large investor in the SPAC space. So that's what we're working on right now, and it's proceeding well.
Sounds like a great topic for next week, because I think I need to know more about what those things are, and I'm sure the rest of the listeners do too, so why don't we tee that up for next week?
Sounds fair.
All right, buddy, take care of yourself. SP Futures only up 3. Well, they were up more. NASDAQ Futures up 70. Again, the retail sales number were down 3, but we're up 5 last month, so I wouldn't pay too much attention. Tomorrow, we'll be back. Stocks and Jacks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI ProDirect. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. HomeSource Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.